Good morning and welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, partner in charge of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. We created the center in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about our programs and publications by visiting us on the web at www.businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Radio Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our conversation this morning is with Andy Mayner, Chief Financial Officer of the Department of Homeland Security. Good morning, Andy.
Morning.
And joining us in our conversation also from IBM is Dave Abel. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Paul.
Well, Andy, let's start by talking about the Department of Homeland Security and the Office of Budget and Finance. Could you give us some background and describe the size and composition?
Well, the CFO's office at Homeland Security really encompasses about five different functions. And that includes budget, finance and accounting, or financial management, strategic planning, financial systems, and GAO and IG audit liaison. So those are the primary functions that make up the office of the CFO at DHS.
What type of skills do you have on your team? What are the skills that people have on your team?
Well, it certainly varies, of course, by office. You would normally have quite a bit of budget expertise, both execution and formulation experience in your budget office. In the finance office, you typically might have, of course, CPAs, accounting types. And then in strategic planning, and as you move into financial systems, these are people with a broad background of either accounting, budget, or possibly systems experience. So it is a bit of a blend, but you do tend to find people who do focus on numbers or systems, per se.
And are they a tenured team, as you were describing in the offices? I thought about level of complexity and imagine somewhat older, more experienced.
It's a range. When you look at Homeland, really in any of our offices, where people came from, their age, their experience, it's a variety because when we set up the department, we inherited a lot of people from other departments. That was part of the transformation and how Homeland was created, and then we've hired a lot since then. So you would definitely find a blend of people, as you know, I think good financial management personnel don't grow on trees, and so you have to work pretty hard to find good people, especially in a major metropolitan area like this, which you have to compete for resources quite a bit with private sector firms, et cetera.
Let's focus a little bit on you. And what are your specific roles and responsibilities as the Chief Financial Officer for DHS?
Well, in a sentence or two, it's of course to be the steward of the financial resources that exist in the Department of Homeland Security. So it is certainly my job to obtain the financial resources that drive our department, but it's also to be the steward of those resources to make sure they're spent in the right way, and we execute according to regulations and laws that govern our department and others. So it's being the primary financial conscience, if you will, of the organization. That's how I describe it.
Let's talk a little bit about your background. What experiences did you have before being appointed to CFO?
My background is really about a 50-50 blend of private sector and public sector experience. And some of it revolved around financial management and some of it didn't. My career began in government. I was in the first Bush administration for a few years. And after we lost the election, I guess we say, I continued to stay with President Bush for about 6 months, 6 to 9 months after that. I stayed in government after that and went over to Somalia for a time to help set up what is now called a coalition provisional authority over there. It was really the civilian military mix in Somalia. So I stayed there for a while doing just a little bit of everything in terms of running that organization. That was a UN-sponsored organization. After coming back from Somalia, in fact, being evacuated from Somalia, I really focused on the private sector portion of my career. I was at the Chicago Board of Trade for a time. Got my MBA in finance, and then really moved into more of an entrepreneurial phase of starting companies and managing those, growing them, merging them, etc. After 9/11, I came back into government, was pulled back into public service, and was at Customs, where I was the chief of staff there. But primarily one of the great experiences of the customs a couple of years I spent there was that after Homeland was created, I was in charge of the merger of customs, which was merging of customs and many parts of the old INS and parts of the Department of Agriculture. So in a sentence or two, it's really a blend of private and public sector experience, which I just find fascinating, that mix.
What drew you back to public service?
Well, public service, there's just nothing like it in my mind. In fact, I hope my career continues to be that blend. The stakes that exist in public service, I think for people who have been in it for a long time, they often forget about the dollar amounts they're dealing with and the high-level stakes that they're dealing with. But I just find that public service is the most noble cause that exists, and it's hard, and a lot of times there's not a handbook. You're constantly under scrutiny, and you just, there's not a lot of room for error. So I think it's the noblest calling, and I personally enjoy it very, very much.
With this balance between public and private sector work, what are the major differences in working in each of those sectors?
Well, I think there's a lot of differences. I think it's interesting, in financial management, I actually kind of view the public and private sector as kind of coming a little bit closer together with Sarbanes-Oxley and some of the new requirements put on the private sector. The private sector is getting a feel for somewhat greater oversight, which certainly exists in the government. So there's a similarity there, or at least a growing similarity. But in the private sector, accountability of people is a very important thing. You get issued a task, and you have to do that task. And oftentimes, your compensation rides on it, or in some cases, your job rides on it. That's one difference. I think you have to spend more time in the government cultivating and training your people, because that's going to be your team. And so I have found in the public sector, I spend more time on people issues. And that can be a positive and a negative, but I think you have to work hard to develop your own people. I would have said 3 years ago that the public sector moved at a slower pace than the private sector, but from my experience here at Homeland Security, I wouldn't say that anymore. We're moving at a very, very fast pace. So maybe I'm saying that some of the differences are narrowing between the two.
Has the experience in the Department of Homeland Security and the pace with which it's moving, has that changed some of the challenges that the public sector faces in performing its mission?
Well, I think that there isn't room for error. I think we all come to work at DHS knowing that, I mean, there's a lot of cliches about Homeland Security about, you know, you have to be right 100% of the time. You can't ever be wrong. But yeah, I think it's changed the complexity of government for sure, because my given day and that of my employees is we have a mission to carry out, and that is to support the department and to make sure our frontline people have what they need to get the job done. But almost a secondary job, but takes just as much time, we have to build a department. Those are almost two full-time jobs right there. So the people that work for me, and I think work in the department, they have stepped up to that, and it's not easy. And so it's not when they talk to their friends at other departments, it's not always the same lifestyle, for sure.
Andy, as you were describing your career, I couldn't help but think that you've had some pretty profound moments in your career. And thinking about those lessons learned, let me kind of take you through what I heard. Part of an administration that was not selected to come back, being in Somalia, a very difficult situation, getting an MBA and a specialized career, and then sort of 9/11. I'm curious about, you know, the lessons you learned in a couple of those situations and how you're applying them now in your job.
Well, I think that it's interesting that my first job out of college was working for the President of the United States. And so what is something that you learn there? You learn a very high stakes existence pretty quickly. I think you learn to deal with adversity. I think you learn to deal with a look around you that is not complete. It's up to you to fill in the blanks. And that's what I think management and leadership is filling in the spectrum for your employees. And I think at an early age, being in the White House taught me that. In Somalia, again, I actually did think that being in Somalia would be the hardest job I ever had in my life. But maybe Homeland might surpass that. But Somalia was, there was no handbook. There was no handbook for how to achieve peace. There was no handbook for how to obtain starvation. There was no handbook for how to do nation building, as it was, that was a new term back then. And you just had to, you had to figure it out. You had to get the resources and figure it out. And so those experiences at a young age for me really taught me about that it's really about initiative and about leadership. And people often ask me, well, you were the CFO, and but you were in the press office in the White House. How are those similar? Well, to me, these are management jobs. What I'm in now, it's not important if I'm a CPA or an MBA. It's important that I manage. And that's really what I've been trying to build in my life, is that capability.
Interesting, especially the part about filling in the blanks. How is the budget for the Department of Homeland Security formulated, and how is the money allocated? We'll ask Andy Mayner, CFO of the department, to take us through this when the Business of Government Hour continues.